السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاۃ والسلام علی سیدنا المصطفى صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers, these ayat of the Quran Sharif of Surah Mu'minun you have been listening to over the past few weeks. We have been discussing the sifats or the attributes or the qualities of the mu'mineen whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says have attained success. Falah and success, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says they have attained. Those people who are believers, those who are mu'mineen, and some of the sifats and some of the attributes Allah ta'ala is mentioning in these verses that we have been discussing. We have discussed the first part of these verses where Allah Ta'ala says that in the salat they have what? Khushu, humility in the salat. They read the salat in a manner befitting that salat because you are standing before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But of course we must not mistaken this to mean that khushu means that you must read long and lengthy rakats all the time. Sometimes people don't understand what khushu means. So at the wrong time, they will read lengthy rakats. The lengthy rakats must be in your nafil salat, in your individual salat, or when the person is, for example, traveling, when the person is traveling and he's got nothing to do, he's relaxed, he reads lengthy rakats. But if he is with companions and he's on a journey, and he knows that the plane is going to take off, or it is time for the train or for the bus or for whatever mode of transport, then at that time his khushu is that he must read short rakats, but in that short recitation he must have khushu. He can be reading Inna A'tayna at that time, Surah Al-Kawthar, and read it with khushu. And sometimes the person has to reduce it even more than that. If there's just 3 minutes left for the plane to take off or to check in, now at that time, if this person is going to read Surah Baqarah in his salat, then we know what is going to happen. So at that time, he must read short surahs, and also at such a time, if there is a need, then he can even reduce the tasbihat that he is reading in ruku and sajda. Look at Shariat, how beautiful, how easy, and how comfortable it makes life. Or for example, the person has come in late for salat, and now he's got standing in the last saf or the third or fifth saf, but whichever is the saf in which everybody is going to be completing the salat, Asr, Maghrib time, Isha time, or some other time. Now there's a whole saf at the back. They didn't get the full rakats. They missed out one or two rakats. Now they came in late. So now they will be completing their salat after the imam makes salam. But after the imam has made salam, he will read Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam, and then that will be the end of the dua, and now everybody will get up and they want to go. But they cannot go because the whole saf is there. So at such a time, those people who are in that saf, they must not read very lengthy rakat. They must not read lengthy qiraat. Their khushu at that time is that they must reduce the recitation. They must read with khushu. At that time, their khushu is that. So for everything there is a place. It's not just one blanket rule. Or for example, now after our Jummah Salat or after the Bayan, some time is given for the four sunnat. Now that four sunnat you can read for 8 minutes, you can read for 20 minutes also. If you are individually reading and there is nobody really waiting, you can lengthen that and it is good. But when we know that immediately after that is going to be khutbah, now if we are going to delay and lengthen our qira'at and sujood and sajda, then it is going to delay the commencement of the khutbah. So at such a time the khushu of that salat will be read inna atwayna, read qul huwallah, read some short surah and read your tasbihat also 3 times, but do not lengthen it to such an extent that afterwards you become deprived of listening to the khutbah from the very beginning. So for everything there is a place, but I have discussed some part of khushu. This just came to mind and I discussed it, especially when we are completing our salat in the back safs. Then at that time we must see what is the situation. If it is Asr Salat, people are still waiting to make dua, or it's Fajr Salat, they're still going to wait to make dua. But Zuhur, Maghrib, Isha, at such a time the person should shorten the rakats. Shorten the rakat doesn't mean now that instead of 2 rakats must read 1 rakat. One busload of people, wallah I'm telling you, in the masjid, one busload of people came from Madina Sharif to Makkah Sharif. And when they arrived at Makkah Sharif, they asked me a question. They said, Maulana, on the way we had to make Qasr Salat. We had to make Qasr Salat. So it was Maghrib Namaz. So there was a difference of opinion in the Maghrib Salat that how much Qasr should we make. 2 rakats or 3 rakats. Should we make the full 3 rakats or should we make 2 rakats? Because Qasr in Safar, if it is Zuhar Namaz, you make it 2. If it is Asr Namaz, you make it 2. If it is Isha, the 4 farz, you make it 2. So now whole busload of people and they are having a difference of opinion. The Maghrib Salat, must we make 3 or must we make 2? So I said, lucky they didn't have a difference of opinion whether you should make 1.5 or 3. So there the 3 rakat remains 3. You don't make Qasr of that. So here also in the rakats, it doesn't mean you shorten the rakat. It means the recitation. Nevertheless, that was with regards to khushu in salat. We discussed that at length. And then we also discussed that those who are believers, those who are the mu'minun, one of the sifat is that they shun and distance themselves. And they stay away from and they turn away from everything that is futile, absolutely useless and futile. They shun all those type of activities also and such kind of talk also. Because it does not bring them any kind of benefit in this world, in the qabr or in the akhirat. Neither worldly benefit nor ukhrawi benefit or benefit of the hereafter. So these are believers. They don't have time to waste. So they do not engage in such kind of futile activities. And I explained at length what is futile. Then we came on to zakat, that either they give the zakat if it is due, or the meaning that they purify their souls. They make an effort to purify these hearts of theirs from all the evil that comes into hearts in the form of malice, greed, envy, jealousy, pride. Now these people make tazkiyah of their qulub. It is a very important shoba or important branch of a Muslim's life. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, of his various functions and duties that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave him, one of the duties was yuzakkihim. You make tazkiyah of their qulub, purification of their souls. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that is one of your functions. So these people, they also take it seriously. They do not just take it as one of those things that as long as we make our namaz, we give our zakat, we fast in Ramadan, and we make hajj upon hajj, so then that is sufficient. They are concerned that are these diseases in my heart or not? And as I mentioned last night also, that these are the diseases which we have to work on. How many of us really take it seriously? How many of us really made dua at the Kaabatullah that, oh Allah, I have come here with my heart which is filled with all kinds of diseases. We will always make dua that, oh Allah, give me plenty of wealth and give me a good home and give me a good wife and bless me with children if the person hasn't got children. And give me an increase in my businesses. All those duas we will make, and it's not haram to make, we must make those duas. But how many of us really attached our hearts to the multazam and we said, oh Allah, with what a kind of a heart I have come to your Mubarak house. This heart of mine which I am placing against this multazam here, with how much of malice I have come here. How much of greed is in this heart? How much of pride is in this heart? How much of envy and jealousy is in this heart? With how many family members I've got no relationship and no contact and taalluq. I've severed my taalluq and connection with them just over material things and disputes. How many of us will go and plead to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to purify us of all these type of evils that are in our hearts? So this tazkiyah of the qulub also, it must be seriously taken. Because if the person is physically ill, then definitely he shows some sort of concern. Tera jismas, your body, agar jisma tera zaraho alil, hakeemo ki sunta hai tu be dalil. If your body is a little ill or sick or weak, then straight away you listen to the hakeems. You don't even ask them for any dalil. How many times you have heard this poetry? Agar jism tera zara ho qaleel, hakeemo ki sunta hai tu be daleel. Dawa talkh se talkh peeta hai tu, khushamat tabibo ki karta hai tu. You are prepared to take the most bitter medicine. No matter how bitter it is, but if the hakeem tells you, if the doctor tells you, or if the specialist tells you that this is something in which there is shifa for you, then you are prepared to take that because you are concerned that your body must not suffer. You do not want to go to the grave. So the person will drink that medicine no matter how bitter it is. And khushamat tabibo ki karta hai tu, and you will chase behind the specialists and the doctors and the physicians. They check me up, check my pressure, check my sugar, check my heart and liver and lungs. Why? Because the person is concerned that it's going to affect his life. خوشامت طبیبوں کی کرتا ہے تو مداوائے تن میں تو تو چست ہے مداوائے تن میں تو تو چست ہے مگر فکر ایمان میں کیوں سست ہے. When it comes to the treatment of your physical body, you are very very alert, you are very sharp, and you are very intelligent, and you've got a lot of energy to go for the treatment. مداوائے تن میں تو تو چست ہے مگر فکر ایمان میں کیوں سست ہے. When it comes to the fikr of your iman, the condition of your heart, why is it that there you become so lazy and so negligent and so indifferent? Why is it that there you do not show any concern? How many of us really went to any specialist of the heart, spiritual heart, and said that these are my sicknesses and diseases and I want you to diagnose and give me a prescription? How many of us really went to the buzrugs and the Allah walas or the Ahlullah for the sicknesses of our heart, for the spiritual sicknesses? We will go to say, give us a taweez for this. We will go to say, give a taweez for barkat in our business. We will go there and say, my child is sick, make dua. My wife gave birth to a child, make dam on the child and give tahneek. Now all these things are again permissible. It is jais, some of it is sunnat, we must do it. But what I am saying is that how many of us really went to them and said that I've got a spiritual disease, as the Sahaba used to go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they used to say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is my weakness, what is the cure for it? So madawa'e tan mein to tu chust hai magar fikr imaan mein kyun sust hai. Teri aql duniya mein kya kar gayi, teri aql duniya mein kya kar gayi, magar deen mein wo kahan mar gayi. Allah Ta'ala gave you intelligence, Allah Ta'ala gave you aqal, and what you did not do with this aqal. If you have to look at our inventions of the time and modern technology, it's all the product of the aqal that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave to man. So when it came to worldly matters, your aqal was so high and you used it so much that you came up with such inventions which baffles our imagination. The intercontinental missiles and all the other technology that they have, especially now when it comes to telecommunication, then it baffles us. How many things they invent, how many different people, or how many people are working on different kinds of things. So teri aql duniya mein kya kar gayi makar deen mein wo kahan mar gayi. Now it so happens that sometimes you want to get to the next point, but Allah Ta'ala put something in mind. Nevertheless, then we were discussing about zina, and I've gone discussing zina at length. For about 3 weeks we have been discussing that, but again, just one or two incidents. Of course, as you already know, the harms I have discussed, for those, sometimes we get people who are coming here for the first Jummah, that we have discussed at length the harms of zina. Allah Ta'ala will cause massacres. Allah Ta'ala will create in that society such sicknesses and diseases that their forefathers didn't even hear of. There will be widespread deaths and killings and murders. Barakat of the risk and sustenance will be taken away. Why I'm repeating this is that all those people who are running quickly for ta'weezes, for barakat in business, for this, for that, first we must check ourselves also. Am I going wrong in any of these departments? Is my life not on track? Or is it on track? Thereafter, if we go and ask for some ta'weez, probably Allah Ta'ala with this fazal will help. But if we have got all these problems, we are indulging in all these sins, and then we think that the ta'weez will do the miracle, it's not going to happen. And if it does happen, it is a test from Allah Ta'ala, just as that fisherman lets go his line after he has hooked the fish to allow it to go first, and then he reels it again. So that's a little bit of chance that Allah Ta'ala gives to make tawbah. So this zina, all those were the harms, and then we started discussing the benefits or the virtues of those people and the blessings that those people get who restrain themselves from zina. There is no doubt that that is the most difficult thing, especially when a young person is madly in love with a woman. It's a very difficult thing for him to come out of that love. It's a pain that he has to take on his heart. Ye tadap tadap ke jeena lahu aarzu ka peena. Ye tadap tadap ke jeena lahu aarzu ka peena. Yehi mera jaam meena, yehi mera ture seena. So we will have to drink the blood of our desires at such a time. We will have to restrain ourselves, put some pressure on that nafs. If we are not going to do that, then we must be ready for all the other consequences, as I have mentioned about the harms of zina. But if we take that little bit of pain on our heart and we drink that blood of our evil desires, because that is the blood that we have to drink to get the sweetness of iman. Now just look at it. You have to drink the blood of your desires and you will get in place of that sweetness of iman. Allah Ta'ala will give such sweetness that only that person himself will know what Allah Ta'ala gave in his heart. So there will be this pain at such a time, but if the person is going to do that, then let us look at that one incident in the life of the, in the times of Bani Israel. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that hadith in which three people were trapped in a cave. Three people were trapped in a cave, and they just couldn't move out because of the storm. Now the big boulder had landed at the door of the cave, so they couldn't come out. Now each one was recalling one good deed of his life, and with the recalling of one good deed of his life, it's a lengthy thing, I'm not going into the details, but when the person said, "Oh Allah, if this good deed of my life was solely for your pleasure, then remove this boulder so that we can come out of this cave." So when the first person related whatever he had done solely for the pleasure of Allah, then Allah Ta'ala removed it one third. Another person recalled what he had done solely for the pleasure of Allah. Allah Ta'ala removed it further, but still they couldn't come out. Then the third person said that, "Oh Allah, you know that I was deeply in love with a cousin of mine, and I tried in every way to seduce her. Then there came drought or famine, and she was in need of money, and I gave her 120 ashrafis, gold coins. And then when I was just about to commit this action, she said, 'Fear Allah, do not take away my chastity.'" So when she said this, I moved away and I let her have the money too. And she said, "If she can fear Allah, why can't I? I'm a man. Oh Allah, if this deed of mine was solely for your pleasure, then remove this boulder altogether." Then Allah Ta'ala removed it. Now what a kind of situation that was. That is what we must think. It's easy to speak, but imagine a person is in that situation. To move away at that time, isn't that something that will cause tremendous amount of pain on his heart? Another person in our time would have raped that woman. If they can rape little babies today, what is there if you would have raped that woman? So we must think that when the person swallowed that, when he drank the blood of his desires, when he feared Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala caused the person to come out of that cave. He opened the way for them. What lesson does it give to us? That if we want a solution to our problems, it lies in nothing else but obeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fear of Allah ta'ala is also essential, just as the love of Allah ta'ala is essential. In fact, we should have so much of love for Allah ta'ala that we fear displeasing him. That is the real thing. But if we cannot have that kind of love, then at least have that kind of fear of the azab of Allah ta'ala. But only that amount of fear is required. It's not that the person sits and all the time is in fear and is depressed. Only that amount of fear is required which keeps the person away from sins, that's all. And for whose benefit? For the person's own benefit. Because if he had committed zina at that time, then he would have had to face all the other consequences. Barakat of risk would have been gone and so many other azabs. And here by staying away from it, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made a way out for them. One person was a butcher. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has given this in his Ihya ul-Ulum. And he was madly in love with a neighbor's daughter. When he heard that this neighbor's daughter is now going to another town, maybe for a holiday or for whatever work she was going, so he followed her. And on the way again, he expressed what his desire was. So she said that I also have love for you, but I fear my Allah. Therefore, I do not wish to engage in anything that is haram. So therefore, don't have any such kind of hopes in your heart. So when she said, fear Allah, then again he stopped and he turned back. It was an extremely hot day and they felt very, very thirsty. He felt very thirsty. So he meets up with one of the persons of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, one of the Hawariyin. And he tells him, he said that I'm so thirsty. He says, I too am thirsty. So let us make dua to Allah Ta'ala that at least he must send some cloud over our heads and give us some shade so that we reach our destination. So he said, you make dua, I will say Ameen. He said, no, you make dua, I will say Ameen. So the person from Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's clan, he made dua and this person said Ameen. Allah Ta'ala sent a cloud and it moved with them, gave them shelter, gave them shade. When they reached a certain place where they had to part, he had to go his way, he had to go his way. Then there he saw that the cloud went with this person who had restrained himself from zina, who had turned away from zina. So this Hawari from the Hawari union who was of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam time, he said, but I thought that you were just an ordinary person and you said that I must make dua. But it seems that you have got some speciality. What is it that you have done? He said, nothing really. But only one incident very recently that just happened now was that I was following this woman and then that khawf of Allah Ta'ala came into my heart. How can I displease my Allah? And I restrained myself from zina. So he said, that is the amal that Allah Ta'ala sent this cloud. So there are so many benefits that will accrue. So in these times, as I keep repeatedly say, when there are so much of fitnas and when every corner and every angle and from every area there is nothing but invitation towards zina, our newspapers, our television, our magazines and everything is just inviting towards zina, either zina of the eyes or zina in reality or zina of the ears or zina of the tongue, then at such a time why should we be losers? We are believers in Allah Ta'ala. Why should we not adopt these sifats and these attributes so that we also become of those whom Allah Ta'ala says have attained success? Just a few years of life, just a little while, and then we all have to head for the graves. It's just a few years of life. Then if you are young and you've got the ability to marry, then get married. But restrain yourself from zina. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect us all. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We must make a lot of dua. We know what is happening in Palestine, in Kashmir and all these other parts of the world. So pour our hearts out before Allah in our duas. when we are making after tahajjud time or any other namaz time, don't just wait for the imam to make dua. It's our duty, we must make dua for them and help them in any other way possible. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept.